Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are currently doing the chapter on the desirability of shaking hands when meeting, having a cheerful countenance, kissing the hand of a pious man, kissing one's child out of compassion, embracing the one who arrives from a journey, and the dislike of bowing down. We explained that this bowing down or any other form that takes the form of any ibadat, to do it for any other person besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that is disliked. And in fact, if a person takes a formal form, for example, he goes into sajda for someone else, then this is completely haram. You know what this is speaking about? Is a person bowing down. Sometimes you find that when a person is meeting another person, he goes down like that to meet. Even this is something that is disliked. We only bow down for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't bow down for anybody else. And then to take a formal position of ibadat for someone else, like a sajda, this is completely haram. So anyway, we're continuing with this chapter. Today's hadith. An Anas radiallahu anhu qala rajulun ya Rasulallah, ar-rajulu minna yalqa akhahu aw sadiqahu ayanhani lahu, qala la, qala afayaltazimuhu ويقبله قال لا قال فيأخذ بيده ويصافحه قال نعم رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. حضرت أنس رضي الله عنه narrated that a man asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when one of us meets his brother or his friend, should he bow to him? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, no. The man asked, should he embrace him and kiss him? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, no. The man asked, should he take his hand and perform musafaha? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, yes. So here what this hadith is teaching us, person just meets his friend, what should he do? He should make musafaha, he should make salam, as we explained yesterday, and a person should also, he should have a cheerful countenance. There is no need for a person every time he sees someone, he makes mu'anaka. Mu'anaka means a person takes his brother and he embraces. We'll do this ahadith, that when a person comes from a journey, person has returned from a journey, now to embrace a person at that time, when a person takes his neck, puts it around the neck of his brother, this is something that is sunnah. However, when just meeting a person generally, there is no need to make mu'anaka. The sunnah is to make musafaha, to meet with the hands. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us. And just a reminder also, that the meeting is with two hands. So we shouldn't feel shy to practice upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way my Nabi met. There's nothing that I should feel shy about. Sometimes some people say, this is such a dry shake. Hand is not moving, not pressing the hand. But this is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met. Can there be anything that is more better than the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There is another part to this, that while this hadith discourages embracing and kissing, from another hadith we learn that these are permissible. So what, we'll explain this further when we do the next hadith, is there are certain situations where a person will embrace, they will kiss, but to do it all the time, this is what this hadith is teaching us, that all the time when a person meets and then he embraces and then he kisses, this is not something that is desirable. What he should do, he should make musafaha. Now and then if a person embraces his brother, he kisses him, that is fine. عن صفوان بن عسال رضي الله عنه قال قال يهودي لصاحبه اذهب بنا إلى هذا النبي فأتيا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله عن تسع آيات بينات فذكر الحديث إلى قوله فقبل يده ورجله وقال نشهد أنك نبي رواه الترمذي وغيره بإسناد صحيحة. صفوان بن عسال رضي الله عنه narrates that a Jew said to his companion, let us go to this messenger. Imagine, the Jews, they knew it so much in their heart that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi, that they would tell one another, let's go to Rasulullah, let's see what we can learn from him. We're not prepared to accept his message, but we know we can learn something from him. In our heart, we know what he's saying is right. We know what he's saying is correct. So he's saying, a Jew said to his companion, let us go to this messenger. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about nine clear signs. We'll just explain those nine clear signs just now. It's a long hadith. We didn't go through that whole hadith. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has just made reference to that hadith. when they came to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the 9 clear signs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related the full incident and said that the narrator of the hadith is saying, he then related the full incident and said that they then kissed his hands after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to them. They came to try and do an examination, test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does he know of these 9 clear signs? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to them in full. Can you imagine? They were shocked. And he related to them 9 things that they thought they knew, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them in full. So they were so excited about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them, so surprised by what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them, that they kissed his hands and they kissed his feet and they said, we testify that you are a messenger. We testify that you are a messenger. So the 9 clear commands which the Jews asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked were the 9 commandments of Musa alayhi salam. So they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to test him. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these commands as follows, that do not associate any partners with Allah ta'ala, do not commit shirk, number 1. Number 2 is do not steal. Number 3 is do not fornicate. Number 4 is do not kill any person unjustly. Something that they are doing, and they were doing for years and years and years. It was a clear command to them, that do not kill any person unjustly. Number 5, do not take an innocent person to the king to be killed. Do not take an innocent person to the king so that an innocent person may be killed. Number 6 is do not engage in magic. Number 7 is something that we can see that they completely disobeying. Do not consume interest. This was some command given to the Jews directly, that do not take riba, do not consume interest. And today they are the leaders in the interest, and unfortunately we are chasing behind them and we are mimicking every product that they got. We're giving it in the name of Islam, Islamic banking, Islamic fixed deposit, Islamic call account, Islamic loans. Whatever they did with interest, we are mimicking them. This was the style of the Yahud. That was, they were told, then do not consume interest. Number 8, do not slander a chaste woman. A woman is chaste, she's honest. Do not accuse her of zina. Do not slander her. Number 9, do not turn your backs from the battlefield when you are defeated. When you are defeated, then don't turn your backs in the battlefield. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. They valued, they understood that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was telling them the truth, but yet they did not accept. It's a sign that hidayat is something from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that if hidayat is not there, then a person can be in the company of the Nabi. He can be hearing all the messages from the Nabi, but yet he won't accept. And if hidayat is written for a person, he may come 1,000 years after the Nabi. He may be living in a desert and he may just look at some sign, and the moment he sees some sign, for example the creation of Allah Ta'ala, and he's prepared to accept Allah Ta'ala, and the moment he hears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's prepared to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore hidayat is a thing that is solely the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always make this dua that Rabbana la tuzhigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wala ta'ala, don't cause our hearts to go astray after you have granted us hidayat. After you have given us hidayat, Allah, don't cause our hearts to go astray. May Allah Pa give us all the tawfiq making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.